In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. I'd like to welcome you all to our Perseverance Family Conversation, and as always, it's great to be with you. No better way to begin our conversation than to invite Mary to be with us. Mary is truly the Mother of God. Mary is the Mother of the Church. And Mary is the Mother of each and every one of us. We also invoke Mary in the beautiful prayer, the Hail Holy Queen, that we pray at the end of the Most Holy Rosary. We invoke Mary as our life, our sweetness, and our hope. Our life, our sweetness, and our hope. Let's turn to Mary and beg her for the grace to put into practice the gospel for today, which is to love God fully, totally, unreservedly, without limits. This is the essence of perfection, is love of God and love of neighbor. So let's lift our minds and our hearts to Mary, offering to her the prayer that she loves most, which is the angelic salutation. We call it the Hail Mary. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Now let's invite our spiritual director to be with us. And our spiritual director is the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit has many different titles, pointing to the mission he has within the church, within the sacraments, and within the individual hearts of ourselves. So let's turn to the Holy Spirit, also known in the Catechism of the Catholic Church as the Gift of Gifts. He's also known, is taken from the beautiful sequence that we pray on the day of Pentecost, the birthday of the church. He's also known as the sweet guest of the soul. Also, he's known as our counselor. He's the one that gives us the best advice. He's also known as the counselor, rather the consoler, giving us encouragement when we find ourselves in a state of desolation. And the Holy Spirit is also our interior master. Part of our struggle in our journey toward heaven is trying to grow in our prayer life. St. Augustine says, he who prays well lives well, he who lives well dies well, he who dies well all is well. Well said, St. Augustine. So let's ask the Holy Spirit to give us grace to pray more and to pray better, as we say. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful, and enkindle within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created. And thou shalt renew the face of the earth. Let us pray. O God, who did instruct the hearts of your faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, grant us by the same Spirit may be truly wise. and ever rejoice in his consolation through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. Glory be to the Father, to the Son, and the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady Guadalupe, pray for us. Saint Joseph, pray for us. Saint Michael the Archangel, pray for us. Saint Gabriel, pray for us. Saint Raphael, pray for us. Saint Ignatius of Loyola, pray for us. Saint Maria Faustina Kowalska, pray for us. Saint John Yutes, pray for us. All God's angels and saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, amen. So as we welcome you all to our Perseverance family, I promise when I celebrate the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass to pray for you and for your intentions. By far the greatest prayer, in the universe is the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. As the saint that we celebrate today would highlight in one of his famous sayings that we'll be quoting to you today. Holy Sacrifice of the Mass is a bridge between heaven and earth, uniting us in the mystical body of Christ and the church militant with the church triumphant as well as the church suffering. So I'd like to offer special intentions for all of you. First will be that on a daily basis, we would make a concerted effort to be more open to the Holy Spirit, that we'd be docile to the heavenly inspirations that come from the Holy Spirit. This is a prayer that we can say during the course of the day. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit, come through the heart of Mary. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit, come through the heart of Mary. My second intention will be to pray for your family and your children. That you would come to a very clear realization that you are the primary teachers of your children. That's right, that you are the primary teachers of your children. Not the state, not politics, nor the school, nor modern psychology, but rather you are the primary teachers to your children. It's incumbent upon you to take that very seriously. It helps your children to form their conscience, to form their spiritual life, so that they one day will be citizens of heaven. And my third intention will be, like, to place on the altar this prayer for the conversion of sinners. Let's unite ourselves, my friends, to pray constantly for the conversion of sinners. Offer prayers and sacrifices for the conversion of sinners. And as Thomas Aquinas points out, that one soul, one immortal soul, is worth more than the whole created universe. With that, let us pray especially for not only the conversion of sinners, but especially of deathbed sinners. That those who are dying, that they would correspond to God's grace and beg for the Lord's mercy so that they will be saved. Jesus says, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? So those are my intentions. I'd like to make one more intention. And I'd like to make an invitation. Earlier this summer, I offered a three-week retreat. 3 week retreat for married couples. Turned out to be a huge success. It was done in Spanish. Now I'm offering it in English. And this could be couples that are preparing to get married, young couples, old couples, couples that are living together. I'd like to invite all of you. It will be this Sunday as well as the following Sunday. So it'll be the 21st of August as well as the 28th of August. And it'll be simply this. At 12 noon in the old church, I'll give a talk on marriage and family. Then we'll break up into groups to share our ideas that we're going to be learning on marriage and family. Then I'll expose the Blessed Sacrament in the old church, and we'll pray for the families. We'll pray the rosary, because the family that prays together stays together. Then I'll give the solemn blessing with the Eucharistic Lord. Then the culmination of our retreat will be I'll celebrate Mass for the couples at about 2 o'clock. Then given that this is a 2-week retreat, we'll be giving to all the couples a binder as well as handouts so that you can be doing a meditation. You can be doing a meditation on the topic of marriage and family for this week and then the following week. Spanish, it turned out to be a huge success. Now it's our turn to do this in English. So write that on your calendar. 2 days from today, Sunday. 2 days from today, Sunday. We'll have a marriage retreat from 12 to 3 o'clock. Because, my friends, I'm keenly aware of the fact that marriage and family is in crisis. And sad to say, many social, political movements and agenda are diametrically opposed toward the traditional family that has been established by God. And very clearly, the major building block of society, is the family. And as John Paul II says, the way the family goes is the way the world goes. So I invite you to pray for that intention and invite you to actually come. gratis, free of charge. All right, my friends. Today we have a lot to cover in a short span of time. I'd like to give you an overview of what we have, and then I'd like to focus upon one aspect. Today we have taken from Ezekiel chapter 37, the famous analogy of the field of dry bones, in which the prophet Ezekiel is led by the Spirit into a field with dry bones. The Spirit invites Ezekiel to pray that these bones would be brought back to life. And after prayer, there can be heard the clattering of bones, and the bones, the dry bones, they rise, and the sinews and the flesh are attached to the bones. Then the Spirit is breathed into the bones. So these dead bones are turned into alive spiritual bodies. This is a beautiful story of the field of the dead bones. Then the responsorial psalm, which is taken from Psalm 107, in which the antiphon is, give thanks to the Lord, for his love is everlasting. Beautiful prayer. It's a prayer that we can say during the course of the day in conjunction with our prayer to the Holy Spirit. Give thanks to the Lord, for his love is everlasting. Never should we be tired of giving thanks to the Lord. Then we're in the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 22, where the Pharisees heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees. They asked the Lord, scholar of the law asked the Lord, what is the greatest of all commandments? And Jesus is going to be quoting the great Shema, hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength. And then to love your neighbor as yourself. The whole of the law and the prophets depend on those two commandments. And then, my friends, and I'd like to start with this, we have a saint that we'd like to talk about. His name is Saint John Eudes. So there's the overview of our conversation today. Ezekiel's vision of the field with dry bones, which become alive with the Spirit. Give thanks to the Lord for his good, for his love is everlasting. And Jesus gives us the first and the greatest of all commandments, which is love. It's a love that has two dimensions, the theological dimension and the social dimension. First of all, we should love God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. And we should love our neighbor as ourselves. Now we're going to see, my friends, how this saint is going to be instrumental in going to the field of dry bones, rendering thanks to God, as well as living out the greatest of all the commandments, the gospel of love. So this saint that we celebrate today, his name is His name is Saint John Eudes, E-U-D-E-S. Saint John Eudes, E-U-D-E-S. Let's pray that as we go through the life of this saint related to the readings for today, that we ourselves would take seriously the gospel mandate. It's a command. That we would try to become saints. That Jesus says unequivocally that we're called to become saints. Jesus says, be holy as your heavenly Father is holy. That's not wishful or whimsical thinking, but rather that is an imperative, imperious command that comes from the lips of Christ himself. So as we read through the lives of saints, we should also ask ourselves, what is preventing me from becoming the saint that God wants me to become? As Leo Bloy says, the biggest tragedy in our lives would be at the end of our lives to not become the saint that God has called us to be. That's the biggest tragedy. To not to become the saint that God has called us to be. The biggest tragedy. To not to become the saint that God has called us to be. The church documents, Lumen Gentium chapter 5, is the universal call to holiness. The universal, which encapsulates, it embodies all people. So let's get to know this saint. Pray to him. And he'll become one of the eminent members in our perseverance family. St. John Eudes. He was born November 14th, the beginning of the 17th century, 1601. He dies today, August 19th, 1680. He lived to be 78, almost 79 years of age. And he composed this very famous phrase related to the Eucharist. And given that the bishops of the United States are inviting us to try to go deeper in our love for the Eucharist these 3 years, St. John Eudes offers us this immortal phrase related to the Mass and the Eucharist. He says to offer the Eucharist well, we would need 3 eternities. An eternity to prepare ourselves for the Mass, an eternity to celebrate the Mass, and an eternity to give thanks for the Mass. Wow! To celebrate worldly the Mass, we'd need 3 eternities. An eternity to prepare ourselves for the Mass, an eternity to celebrate the Mass, an eternity to give thanks for one Mass. So, off the bat, let's pray to St. John Eudes that we would appreciate more and more the holy sacrifice of the Mass. For that reason, there's a real parallel between St. John Eudes and the priest that I mentioned before, St. Charbel Maclouf. St. Charbel Maclouf was a Maronite Lebanese priest, a monk. And he asked permission of his superior if he could celebrate Mass at midday, so that he could spend the whole morning in preparation for Mass. celebrated Mass when the sun was highest in the sky. And then the rest of the day, the afternoon, the evening, would be in thanksgiving. In thanksgiving for the holy sacrifice of the Mass. Interesting note, my friends, if we are really to become holy, our holiness depends upon our union with God, with Christ. And the most profound, intimate union we can have with Christ is through the Eucharist, in which His body, blood, soul, and divinity becomes one with ours. So let's talk a little bit about this saint and how he was able to live out the gospel today, which is to love God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. His parents suffered because they could not have children right away. They wanted to raise a family. So his mother and father traveled to made a Marian pilgrimage, and then John was born, and then five other siblings. That shows us the power of making prayers, pilgrimages to the Blessed Virgin Mary. Mary can work miracles in our lives. You should never, never underestimate the power of the prayers we offer to the Blessed Virgin Mary, and the power of the rosary too. As a child, he manifested great piety. And on one occasion when he was a child, one of his companions smacked him hard on the face, on the cheek, and he turned the other. Jesus says, when someone smacks you on one cheek, turn the other, not to seek revenge, but rather to pray for our enemies. Might happen today that you're not going to be smacked on the cheek, but maybe you're going to get some type of contradiction. Maybe someone's going to rub you the wrong way. Maybe you'll receive a humiliation. Maybe it'll be a minor humiliation. Maybe you'll be cut off on the freeway. Well, this saint teaches us not to seek revenge, but to forgive and to pray for our enemies. It's hard. But every time we pray the Our Father, we say, give us this day our daily bread. And we also say, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Now, John felt the call to become a priest. So we studied, this is back in the 1600s, in a very famous seminary in Paris called the Oratory. Which was directed by a very famous Cardinal Berulle back then. And he'd be ordained and he'd become an Oratorian priest. Remember, it was St. Philip Neri that established the Oratorians. Cardinal Berulle admired St. John Eudes. And it became very evident that John Eudes had talents. One of his primary works as a priest was he went out and he preached popular missions to the parishes. So he'd go from one parish to the next and preach to the people. My friends, pray for priests, because according to the documents of Vatican II, the priest has two primary obligations: to pray to God, to pray for the people, but also to preach. St. John Hughes was a very, very great preacher. There was a priest named Monsignor Camus. He said he heard the greatest preachers in Italy and France. He said, I've never heard anyone preach better than St. John Hughes, one of the greatest preachers of the 17th century. And the people said this of him, that as a preacher he was like a lion, but as a confessor he was like a gentle lamb. So he was a fiery preacher, but a very gentle and loving confessor. May we as priests imitate him, to preach with fire, but to be like Jesus, meek and humble of heart, as confessor, reconciling souls to God. Now, St. John Hughes, inspired by the Holy Spirit, recognized that if the church were to be changed, improved, if the society were to be transformed, to go through a metamorphosis, the whole society, he recognized the supreme, indispensable importance of the priesthood. That's right, he recognized the supreme, indispensable importance of the priesthood. That being the case, he recognized that a priest depends a lot upon where he's being formed. So he insisted on the importance of having good houses of formation, good seminaries, to prepare the priests well, prepare good, solid, holy priests. So he insisted upon the formation of young men becoming solid priests. Earlier I mentioned to you John Paul II, who called together a synod on the formation of the priest, and a document was published, Pastores Dabo Vobis, Give Us Shepherds, which John Paul II highlights the five pillars of forming a good priest. The human formation, the intellectual formation, the spiritual formation, and finally, the pastoral formation. Those are the four pillars of a well-formed priest. And I'm keenly aware of this, my friends, that the people of God are at the mercy of the priest. In other words, we heard this in Ezekiel earlier this week, he spoke about the shepherds that were not pasturing the sheep, but they're actually feeding off the sheep, neglecting the sheep. The flock, the sheep, depends a lot upon the shepherd. So St. John Hughes, St. Anthony Mary Claret, St. Alfonso Liguori, St. John Bosco, St. Dominic, Venerable Bruno Lanteri, all of these were founders of religious congregations insisting upon the formation and the sanctity, the formation and the sanctity of the priest. The formation and the sanctity of the priest. So he was instrumental in founding 5 seminaries. That's huge. 5 seminaries. If that were not enough, he became the founder of a new congregation. Known as a congregation of the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Immaculate Heart of Mary, known today as the Eudists because the founder, St. John Eudes. And one of the primary charisms or apostolates of the Eudist priests, the priests of the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Immaculate Heart of Mary, would be the formation of future priests in the seminary and training them to be good preachers. How many people have been converted because they heard a really good, solid homily or a conference or a talk? Many. 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 So let's move on. All right. It's interesting how this saint was inspired to do something that should be totally different now, a totally different apostolate. St. John Hughes live in a time where women were in danger of giving in to the practice of prostitution. This has always been a perennial problem throughout the world. Today there's human trafficking. It's probably even more serious today than ever. But back in the 1600s, this was a serious problem in Europe and France. So, one of the women that helped him in this initiative, her name was Magdalene Lamet. And one occasion she approached him and said, look, you go off and you preach your missions, then you can go back to your comfortable monasteries where you have food and clothing and a refuge. And he took this to heart. He said, these women, you tell them to give up their their practice, but then where do they go? Many of them are ignorant, they have no education, they have no families, they're not married. Where are they going to go? How are they going to sustain themselves if not through prostitution? So she said it's necessary to have some place where they can be live and where they can be educated so that they can eventually get married and raise families. So as a result of this, he founded another congregation. Another congregation, and there's a church with his title in Long Beach, California, not too far from me. Excuse me. In the community, they're called in honor of this church, Our Lady of Refuge. So, eventually, convents and homes were founded such that these women that were in danger of falling into prostitution, and some of them who had already fallen into prostitution, could be either prevented from falling or they can be reformed. So there was the foundation of Our Lady of Refuge. By the way, St. Ignatius of Loyola worked on this, as well as St. Maria Faustina Kowalska worked with girls that had this possibility or this problem. Later on, there'd be another community of nuns called the Religious of the Good Shepherd. And they have the same apostolate to try to help troubled women, tempted women. And now, Our Lady Good Shepherd has 585 houses in the world, 7,700 religious nuns dedicated to rehabilitating prostitutes and preventing girls from falling into that vice. Think about this, my friends. This is just one person. How much good we can do if we dedicate ourselves to living out the gospel today. How much good we can do if we try to love God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. And you see what John Hughes was doing was living out the first reading, the Field of the Dead Bones. John Hughes was called to bring back the dead bones, those who were not living in the state of grace, to revitalize them with the Spirit of God through the preaching and the formation of future priests, as well as the rehabilitation of fallen women. Now, if that were not enough, St. John Hughes had two very special devotions. Two very special devotions. Now, he's going to be living shortly before another French saint. And this French saint, her name is Saint Margaret Mary Alacoque. You can see in my studio here in the background, there is an image of a nun kneeling down, and Jesus behind the grate, dressed in a white tunic, and Christ is pointing to his heart. That's the apparition where Jesus appears to Saint Margaret Mary Alacoque in Paray-le-Monial. He says, "Behold the heart that loves so much, but only receives coldness, indifference, and ingratitude in return. Behold the heart that loves so much and receives only indifference and gratitude in return." Now, she's going to be coming shortly after St. John Newt's. So, St. John Newt's propagated two great devotions that have, even to this very day, great importance. We try to really promote it and make it more and more popular. And this would be devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus and to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. To the Sacred Heart of Jesus and to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. That's right. He wanted the people to recognize the love of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. Jesus, who said very clearly, "Come to me, all of you who are weary, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and humble of heart. For I am meek and humble of heart, for you will find rest for your souls. Because my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And to promote devotion, especially to the Immaculate Heart of Mary, St. John Hughes was also a writer. How important it is, my friends, the apostolate of good books. The Oblates of the Virgin Mary, my founder, insisted that we try to get into the hands of people good books. Today would be good books, good articles, good websites, good YouTubes, good movies, using modern technology. We want to do all we possibly can, my friends, to promote the gospel through good reading, but also through modern technology. Use all the means we have at our disposition to save immortal souls. That's right. To save immortal souls. So we wrote a book. And it's, the name of the book is The Admirable Heart of the Mother of God. And the essence of that is explaining how much Mary loved God and how much Mary loves us. My friends, we should never forget this, that we should seek refuge at all times and all places in two places. We should seek refuge, my friends, in the most sacred heart of Jesus, but also we should seek refuge in the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Those are two very safe harbors or refuges for our weary souls. And John Hughes also composed an office, a liturgical office, to honor the Immaculate Heart of Mary. The Church celebrates the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Immaculate Heart of Mary together. At the end of the Easter season, we celebrate the most sacred, the Blessed Trinity, then we celebrate the feast day of Corpus Christi. The Friday after that, we celebrate the feast of the most sacred heart of Jesus, and the Saturday after that is the Immaculate Heart of Mary. But also every first Saturday of the month is dedicated to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Other books that he wrote. He also wrote a book on the devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. As a result of this, Saint Pope Pius X, he proclaimed Saint John Hughes as the apostle of devotion to the Sacred Hearts, that which would be the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Immaculate Heart of Mary. He also wrote other books. So he was a prolific writer. So I'd like to mention just a couple more of the books written by St. John Hughes. And one would be The Good Confessor. This is often the work of the saints, that they'll preach popular missions. And then as a result of this, people will be moved to go to confession. I'd like to ask for your prayers because I'm preparing a parish in downtown L.A., Our Lady of Loretto, to make a consecration to Mary. And this will be in 9 days. It'll be on the 28th of August. A Sunday we'll make the consecration to Mary. But yesterday and today, to prepare these good people to make this consecration to the Blessed Virgin Mary, we're hearing general confessions. Yesterday I was there with three priests hearing general confessions. Today we have programmed another 100 general confessions from 3 o'clock until 8 o'clock with a team of priests. So I'd like to invite you to pray for me, to pray for the priests, pray for the people, pray to St. John Hughes that we would be able to reconcile these many souls to God by making a good general confession. My friends, a general confession is so important. And many good Catholics are blocked in their spiritual life because they have unconfessed sins, because of a lack of a good catechesis the past 60 years since Vatican II. So I feel that one of my missions is to try, by giving the spiritual exercises, to try, by giving programs of consecration to Mary, to try to get all the people to make a good general confession, the best confession in their lives. And as a result of that, they can unclog their spiritual veins. Many suffer spiritual cholesterol, high blood pressure, so to speak. Once these unconfessed sins are confessed and forgiven, then we're born to new life. And then, like St. John used, God can use us. As modern apostles, in imitation of St. John Hughes, to spread the good news that Jesus Christ is the Lord, God, Savior, and the King of the universe. So St. John Hughes, he died today, actually today, August 19th. 1680. And he had a biblical passage that basically characterized his life, that he tried to live. And it's from the Gospel of St. John. And it's this: My Heavenly Father loves me because I do what is pleasing to Him. My Heavenly Father loves me because I do what is pleasing to Him. So maybe we can take that as a motivation in our lives. That in honor of St. John Hughes, that promoted devotion to the Immaculate Heart of Mary and promoted devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus, which are the two most eloquent symbols of love, starting today, we would try with all of our hearts to live out the gospel today, to do what is pleasing to God so that we would love God with all of our heart, all of our mind, all of our soul, all of our strength, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. St. John Hughes, pray for us. The Lord be with you. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Give thanks to the Lord for His good, for His love, for His mercy is everlasting. Amen.